There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello listeners, and welcome to what will again be a full wrap around 12. With a few days to cry or gloat over what has happened, we are back to review the full round. With us to tell us how much he loves teams being announced only 24 hours before they play is Archie. Welcome again.
Mate, it's a little bit different after, 20 straight days of footy festival. We've got 3 days off, and I was complaining before that I didn't have enough time to make my trades, and now I'm complaining because I got too much time and I keep chopping and changing so much.
Yeah, I know, right? It's and, you know, I had to actually have dinner at the table with the family tonight. That was just strange.
I know, it's wrong, isn't it?
I wasn't impressed with that, you know. And the little table in front of the TV yelling at my fantasy players, it's just different, you know. It's not right.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's it. So, I mean, it's fun while it lasted. Oh, I won't say it was fun while it lasted. It was... It was what it was while it lasted, but we've got a few days off and then we're pretty much back into it, Zeno.
As of Thursday, it's sort of a normal round and then it's bang again.
Yeah, that's right. And then we've got another lot of condensed fixtures, as we mentioned last week, to go again in a couple of rounds. So I guess enjoy the so-called normal round while it lasts.
Exactly. So, yep, bit of breathing space, and then we're back into it daily again, almost. So, see how we go.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. All right. So let's do that recap. We're a day late due to other circumstances. Yep. So let's just do a recap of what happened in round. Oh, geez, I don't know. Zeno, 12, isn't it?
We've just been
That's
through
the other
round
thing.
12.
I'm finding it really hard to keep track of what round we're in, and
I actually have to keep writing down and counting how many rounds we've got left.
Yep.
You know, it's. Oh, it's impossible to keep track of.
All right, so we started off, I think it was a Thursday night. Could have been Friday. Yeah. Who knows these
Might
days? Sam Simpson did a what, Zeno?
He did a hammy.
He did a hammy in the third quarter.
Heard a few people.
It didn't look too bad, but you'd think he would miss a couple. And let's face it, he's topped out in price if you've still got him.
Yeah.
So it's time to move him on.
He's been the last couple of weeks to move on anyway. So, yeah, that's right.
Yep. Robbie Tarrant in what screwed a lot of people for captain loopholes. He was a late out for the for the ruse, and in came Tristan Cherry, which many people had as their captain there to loop with somebody on the bench. So that screwed a lot of people.
Sure did, myself included, actually. Not that I was able to go with my loophole anyway. I went Whitfield. So, but yeah, that was him, and also Brander coming back in hurt a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah, that was surprising. I'll get to that one in a minute.
Yes.
Will Walker did a what, Zeno?
He did a hammy as well.
He did a hammy, Zeno.
From now on, what you should say, Arch, is just Will Walker and then just move on. If it isn't a hammy, we'll tell everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Collingwood, Zeno, talk about a rough run with injuries. Brody Mychek, now he got knocked into next week running back into the pack there, and Ben Reid did a blank for that one. So what that should mean, Zeno, for us is that Darcy Cameron holds his spot.
He was awful, though, so do you want to keep him?
Yeah, well, he's one of those ones where, heaven forbid, you ended up playing him for a couple of weeks with Max out of the team. If you held on to Max Gawn, last week was brilliant for you. This week, not so much.
Yeah, last week he was on my bench. This week he was on my field. So, yeah, thanks, fantasy gods.
Yeah.
Love your work.
Absolutely. And at this point, Zeno, I thought we were going to have a pretty light week when it came to injuries, because from memory, that was Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then Sunday hit. So Andrew McPherson did a hammy in the first half. Late in the game of the Bulldogs game, Tim English rolled his ankle. Now, he's going to be in a race against time to get up for their game this week. They play on Saturday.
Yep.
So that will be interesting to see. I know I've got him in Dream Team, I think, for him. So that could be one where if he's out, I've got four injured players on my field with three trades to get me out of it. So that'll be very interesting.
Well, Yeah, actually, then, in Dream Team, you've got two trades, Arch. You haven't got three trades this week.
Oh, I'm screwed then. Yep, totally screwed. Now, this one really hurt Zeno. This is one of those ones that really annoys me, where there's no talk of an injury at all throughout the week. And then he gets named and then is a late withdrawal, and magically he's out for multiple weeks.
Yeah, it's saying 2 to 3 rounds, I thought I've seen today.
Yeah, so we're talking Elliot Yeo. He was replaced in the side by Brander, as you said. A couple of weeks at least with a groin injury. And what annoys me is there is no way that he was going to play on the weekend.
No.
Yet they named him. Just screwed with us. Because by the time I realised that, I was busy on Sunday morning.
Yep.
By the time I realised that, the game had already started. I saw Brander running around. I'm thinking, what the hell's he doing out there?
And not just that, being even still a Sunday game, you struggle to reverse any trades by that stage.
Correct.
So yep.
Unless you've got one in your back pocket and you can actually trade Yeo up.
Exactly. Unless you've kept one completely. If you've already made your trades, you're not really able to reverse anything. So it's a hard one.
Which leads me into the next one, Zeno, that you've just popped in there. And that was Liam Duggan. Now, I had to do some trades, I think, Thursday it was for that one to play around. I had a couple of Geelong players I needed to move on. And so I thought, super coach, I'll be a little bit risky. Duggan's been playing well. You know, hashtag Duggan train might just have been 3 years late. And turns out, no, he didn't get named.
Yep. And so, touch and go this week as well. So
yeah, exactly. Jack Redden for the Eagles as well. He had an adductor issue and he'll be in doubt for the next game. And then the big one.
I was just going to say, Arch, on the Eagles as well, it's also been today Simpson hinted that both Nick Nat and Kennedy might be rested as well. So
yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. I can see that coming in the next couple of weeks.
That's going to come a couple of times, I think, between now and finals. So
yep.
That's another one to keep a real close eye on, especially in Supercoach. If you're a Nick Nat owner, a lot of people could have gone straight from Gorn to Nick Nat. So
yeah. So the big one that got me, Zeno, because I own him in pretty much everything, despite what I say each week on the podcast, is James Sicily. Now, he went down. This is what really annoyed me, Zeno. He went down in junk time playing in the forward line.
Yep.
So he's done an ACL. So he's out for 12 months at least. And depending on how next season actually rolls around, when it starts and everything like that, it could be the rest of this season and all of next season before we see him. So he's an obvious trade for that one.
Yep.
And then the decision is, if you're in the premiership window there and you're in a keeper league, you know, depending on when your trade deadline is, you might want to try and move him on and see if you can get somebody else just to help you for this season if you're up the top of the ladder and contending there.
Yep.
Then we have a couple of broken hands, Zeno. So Dame Rampy, we know about. His plate apparently got dislodged there, so he's out for the season, I think.
Yeah.
Now, you throw in as well for Sydney, they announced Ben Ronk and Riley Stoddart, they're also out for the season. Hopefully we see some rookies come through.
Have
and
they
get
got
named.
Any left? We'll get to that in a while, but
we've
got a question on one of them later on. But, I don't know if they've got many left to play. They've played most of them.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think there might be one or two more.
Jackson Thurlow could be playing midfield for us this week.
you never know. And lastly, so this was after the round, it came out yesterday, Jager O'Meara, he's had surgery on a broken hand, so you'd expect that he's definitely out this week, maybe the week after as well, or the round after.
Yeah, it's a strange one there. I don't know how guys get back from broken hands in a week, but... We'll wait and see on that. So that's cool.
Yep.
Lots to ponder there, Arch. And it's still only 24 hours away as we're recording until the next game. So who knows what will happen between now and then.
Yep. Suspension, Zeno, why don't you take us through?
So a lot of fines this week and a lot of controversial fines in the Richmond game. But we won't, talk about that because we'd like to keep things kind and... You know, don't like to be nasty. Elijah Taylor being suspended for the rest of the season, thanks to a booty call from his partner. So We just hope it was worth it. Now, there's a couple of different stories out there, and they're both as concerning as each other. One was that she's jumped fences and run across a golf course to bang on the door. And then the other one is that she claims she just walked straight in past security guards and wasn't questioned once. Both as concerning as the other one, I think, yes, for different reasons. So, he's done for the year. Wasn't really relevant for us, but not just that. They're also in a bit of trouble at the moment with the WA government.
It could just be the start of it.
Exactly. So that football side of it's been dealt with, but they've got legal action, probably at least investigations coming their way. So that'll be interesting for them. All right, Arch, moving along tonight. Now, you're going to quickly let us know of all the relevant DPP additions for fantasy that came out after the round.
Dane Zorko.
Thank you. Yep.
So he picked up forward status. The rest, look, if you're in some draft leagues, there might be a little bit of playing around there, but realistically, we're mainly a fantasy classic podcast here, so Zorko's the main one getting forward status, which is probably quite handy because we are lacking a little bit in the forward line.
Oh, what?
So, it's if you can get him in, obviously have a bit of a look at it, especially he's got his bye coming up, so you will get his average for that one, assuming. And he's another one, Zeno. He's a big chance for a rest at some point. So assuming he plays the week before or the round before, you'll get his bye as a forward there.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that because he had an injury, remember? He missed a couple of rounds, if I remember rightly. So he may not be too bad, but, I'm not even looking at who's likely for a rest at this stage because it's just like, you know, shooting monkeys in a barrel. Fish in a barrel, I think, is the term they use. So good luck with that.
All right, Zano, it's back. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We finally get back to that segment.
Yep.
And you're going to kick us off this week. And I've seen what it is, so I'm just going to go and I'll come back in about half an hour when you're done.
Don't need that long, Arch. It's simple. How good is an after-the-siren blinder kick to win a game against all odds? Now, of course, we're talking about the good old Navy Blues and Nunes' blinder from 45 metres out in about the fourth row of the stadium for their win against Fremantle. Now, very quickly, does it get better for a supporter when, not just an after-the-siren shot, but an absolute, you know, 1-in-100 shot goes through like that? It's just, in the wet, the angle, the distance, it was just great to see, Arch. I may have screamed a little bit in that one.
Look, I was watching it live, well, not live at the ground, but I was watching it on the TV live, and I thought Fremantle had it sewn up, and through a couple of issues of theirs and potentially a couple of umpire issues there, it ended up in Nunes' hand. And, mate, it looked just as good as what good old Dom Sheed's kick did a couple of years ago. Slightly less weighing on it, but it was still a good kick, and it never looked like missing. I'll agree with you there.
Let me run you through the emotions of the last 20 seconds of that game for a Carlton supporter. The ball goes out of bounds, is tapped out by Tabner, and you think, oh, it's touch and go. They won't call. Oh, he's called deliberate. Yes. And then Doherty gets the kick and sprays it directly out of bounds. And you think, 10 seconds left, that's game over. They're just going to whirl you back down the ground. Oh, hang on a second, what's going on here? It's a down-the-ground free kick. Oh, crap, it's Gibbons that's the closest guy to the ball. He can't even make the decision. Oh, hang on, no, it's not Gibbons. Nunes is getting the kick. Nunes isn't a bad kick, but geez, chance he's going to kick that from there is, oh, my God, he's nailed it. It's straight through the middle. Yes, we won! So, what an interesting 60 seconds of my life that turned out to be, Arch.
I was going to say, and you flip that for the Freo supporters, I know it's more like, oh, it's a clearing kick, that's fine, Tabernan's going to boot it further down. Oh, he's knocked it out. Oh, that's all right. They won't call deliberate. Oh, they've called deliberate on that. Yep. What the hell is he doing? Doherty's going to take the kick there, and he's kicked it, and it is down the ground, out of bounds on the full. Hang on, what? We're getting the free... They're getting the free kick. What do you mean they're getting the free kick? What the hell is Brayshaw doing? That wasn't a free kick. Oh, well, at least if it is a free kick, it'll be Gibbons that's... It's not... Nunes? What's he doing taking the kick? Oh, he can't kick this, surely. Look, he's got spent so much time asking the photographer to move. He's never going to kick it. He's that... You have got to be kidding me.
It was one of the weirdest 30 seconds of football you'll ever see, let alone just this season. It was right or wrong. We can argue all we like about whether the kicks were there, but, you know, it's just 2020, Arch. That's what we'll do. All right, Arch, let's move on to your good. And I can't believe you're going to mention this bloke, but we'll go from there.
I know. So, Zana, I've got a question for you. If you could bring in a bloke that's averaging over 100 in his last two games, cost less than 550,000, or he did when I was typing this up, which was before lockout, plays for a team that is in the top third for the schedule difficulty, they've got a reasonable run home, and he has looked to have a significant role change in those last two games, would you do it, Zano?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about because I've looked forward. You'd have to look and consider something like that. You'd have to.
So we're talking about my good old mate now that Sicily's gone. It's no longer James frickin' Sicily. It's Andrew frickin' Brayshaw.
Oh, good old... Zano? Not Angus, Arch. Angus Brayshaw.
Sorry,
Gus
Angus
is back.
My apologies,
Gus is
Andrew.
Back.
The other A. Brayshaw. Angus Brayshaw.
Yep.
Now, in Supercoach, Zano, it's even better. He's averaging 112 over the last three. And again, priced at about 400 when I was doing this one up. So he's got to be looked at. Now, for perspective, the last 3 weeks, though, Zano, he's come up against an 18th placed Adelaide, a 17th placed North Melbourne, and a Collingwood team that was basically their under 12s.
Yes. I know what you're saying. Look, the way I'm looking at that is if you're in a good enough position that you can get to the top premiums, you're doing it.
Yep.
So if you're getting to a McRae, a Zorko, Adams, who's sneaking under the radar, he was great for me this week. You know, guys like that, as you said, Cornelio, any of those sorts of blokes, you're doing it. If you're looking at your team and going, oh, I really am struggling to get top premium, then you're looking at these undervalued guys. So, yep. Look, it's tomorrow's going to be my day to sit down and have a look at it all properly. Mm. He's on my radar, but I don't know if I need another value guy. I've sort of been down that path already. So it just depends on where you're at, Arch. But
I don't know if I need the headaches, Zano, because guarantee you, might not be this week, but at some point he's going to rock you out of 40, probably in Fantasy Grand Final week.
Exactly. And look, at the end of the day, they're not really missing anyone. And Viney was eased back into the game as well this week. So, look, again, if you're getting a bit desperate towards the end of the season, which I know plenty are for no fault of their own because that's the game we play and it's Corona Bowl, do it. Do it.
Actually, come to think of it, Zano, I just remembered another injury today. Braden Pruce went down on the track at Melbourne training.
Yes.
So Brayshaw may be rucking at this point with Jackson and Gawn still injured and now Pruce going down.
Yeah, well,
he might be called on to ruck.
I think I read somewhere because actually Duncan did some rucking on the weekend and so did Bont.
DPP.
Sorry?
Bit of DPP action.
Yeah, well, right? I'm sure that they're actually playing the Dogs this week, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that. We got that coming up, haven't we? Yes, they do. They play the Dogs. So I might put a bet on Bont getting 20 hitouts and see how I go.
Yes.
That's another one to get to as well, Arch. So cool.
But worth all right, Zano, enough patting people on the back. Who are we going to give a slap to? Who gets your bad?
Well, I'm not giving a slap to anybody, Arch. We've mentioned this guy in this section before. You've mentioned him already, this podcast, and he's in here for different reasons generally, but I'm going to give it to James Sicily. Look, it just sometimes blows me away how such an innocuous incident like that was can send you out of the competition for 12 months, you know? I'm sure you've seen the footage of it. There was nothing in it. You know, it's just two guys go on the ball. It was almost just like a bump. It wasn't like his leg completely came out from under him and he actually got up and even looked like he was walking around in the rooms afterwards, if I'm not mistaken. So, look, we wish him all the best because even though we joke about guys like Sicily who has different roles at different times from a fantasy point of view, it is just so bad for the game when we do lose those sort of superstars and he's definitely in that sort of echelon for sure. Cool. All right, Arch, let's move on to your bad.
My bad, Zano. It's the rolling team announcement. Now, this week, it screwed me in a couple of ways. Obviously, this is, and it's going to continue through to the rest of the season where I'm not happy about it, but we're not going to get to know the final teams until 24 hours before they actually play. Yeah,
this week's not
so
too bad.
So in fantasy, I had Devin Smith. Yeah, I had Devin Smith managed on Saturday afternoon after I made all my trades there. So onto the bench he went. Luckily, Luckily, I had Woodcock there, so he actually covered as well at that point.
Yep.
What else happened? Oh, Duggan, we've spoken about. So I did that about 30 minutes before the Melbourne game because I needed to get rid of Rivers, as I said.
Yep.
So that screwed me there. And, yeah, so that it just drives me bananas, mate. Mm. It really does. And I really hope they don't continue this next season.
Mind you, in saying that, Arch, how many times, as you said earlier, Elliot Yeo named, playing, oh, he's out.
Yep.
And for 2 to 3 weeks. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't even, at least with the rolling lockout, you can sometimes hang on to those trades. If it's full lockout, you don't get that opportunity. So they do it anyway. But, yeah, I know what you're saying. It just, I guess the hardest part, I mean, we do it for Supercoach, we do it in Dream Team and some of our draft leagues anyway, where we run rolling lockouts all weekend. But it's definitely hard keeping up with all the teams. But at least there, you get the teams on a Thursday night, you know?
Mm.
Whereas now, it's a case of, you know, every day, it's just, it's draining sometimes. Very
it
draining.
Is, mate.
So, yeah.
All right, your ugly Zeno. Where rookies, are we going Arch? With that one this week? Rookies.
And that's it, just rookies. Not only are we really not getting anybody that's sort of worth chasing, the current batch that are out there are, you know, other than maybe the odd game here and there, that last spot or two on field, they're just not cutting the mustard, are they?
It's hard, isn't it? I had Bytel this week after a pretty solid debut the week before. Just sucked.
Yeah, well, you think about guys that a lot of guys could have played. You've got your Bytels, you've got your Camerons. Draper wasn't terrible. Mind you, I think
Woodcock
had...
Woodcock was all right.
Yeah, that's two. Woodcock was okay. Draper had, I think, about 20 points in the second half, though. So there's concerning there. Who else was there? You had guys like Wicks. You had, you know, all these guys. Rankine, you know?
Yeah, he came good in the second half.
Yeah, he got a bit of junk in the second half. He wasn't great. These are all guys that... Arts, he's another one. A lot of these guys. And Hosey, he was fairly popular. You know, these guys are scoring 20s, 30s.
Yep.
So it's killing. And it sort of builds to my theory of just get those rookies off field. Even if you, and we'll get to our trades in a second, doing some streaming work, just get them off your field. Because it's just killing you. So that's it. All right, Arch, let's have a quick look at your ugly.
Look, Zano, I do hate to do it. Well, I sort of hate to do it. But I'm actually going to give it to the umps, or more specifically, the holding the ball rule. Now, there's been a lot of discussion. I think it was sort of overshadowed by your Carlton guys on the weekend with the umpiring decisions around that in the last 30 seconds. But before that, a lot of the talk, and even in that game, it was all around this holding the ball decision. And it's toss a coin at the moment, Zano, as to whether it's holding the ball or ball up. You know, blokes seem to get grabbed straight away with no prior opportunity and it's holding the ball. Or they try the fend off, get caught, and it's a ball up. It's just a hit and miss, and it's just so frustrating. And it goes both ways. Obviously, if you're, you know, a one-eyed supporter, you see it more, you know, your team's always the one being offended against. But when I watch neutral games, it's just as frustrating because you just don't know which way it's going to go. I can only imagine being a player, Zeno.
I know, mate. It's definitely doing my head in. The one thing I mentioned there is just remember that it's the AFL that sets the rules, not the umps. I know people like to abuse and blame the umpires, but they're only doing what the AFL asks them to do. But it's just so hard with the uncertainty of it. And this week, watching the games this week, I reckon it was pretty evident in the first game or two that they've really relaxed the holding the ball rule again as well. They weren't pinging guys anywhere near as harshly as they had been for the previous, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 rounds. So that was evident to me was the interpretation has softened again. So across most of the games on the weekend. So yeah, it's doing a lot of heads in, Arch.
Well, what really annoys me, Zano, and I did see a few instances of this over the weekend, is it's now got to the point where players aren't making the ball their primary objective. They're waiting for somebody else to grab the ball so they can tackle them. There was a couple of times, and I can't remember the specific instances, but I can remember seeing it and going, oh, hang on here, where basically players stopped, and both of them waited for the other person to get the ball so they could tackle them. That's my concern with this rule.
I remember in the Collingwood game, two players, it was in one team's forward line, it was a bit of a scrimmage on the ground, they both looked at each other. And the ball's sitting between them. They just looked at each other. And that's dead right. And the other thing that's frustrating, this has eased off a lot over the last year or two as well, was the below the knees contact rule.
Yes.
Where that sort of is where this has all started from, where at times it wasn't worth you trying to get the ball.
Yep. Yeah, because, that's right.
You know, if you hit someone below the knee, suddenly it was, even if you had the ball, you know, now it's the same with this. So I agree. It's definitely a case lately where a few rules have made it sometimes better to not get the ball, but sit back and watch. And I think
which is not what we want to teach our kids, mate.
It's not what the game's about. It's, you know, get the ball in your hands and then deal with it, not the other way around. So, I think the AFL's got a bit of work to do there as well, but, you know, time will tell, of course. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble.
So enough looking back. Let's start to look forward to round 13. So we're going to cover off the, we're going to cover off the games first, and then look at what the trades are we're going to do. So this week we kick off on Friday night, Zano. We don't even have a Thursday game.
No.
This week.
It's strange.
So we kick off with a blockbuster: Gold Coast versus Carlton. Could you imagine that last year, after the way those two teams were going last year, and they were handed this game, Zano?
They were.
Because of the way Gold Coast and Carlton have played this year, they've actually been really competitive and really fun to watch. So well done on them getting the Friday night game, and I think it should be pretty good fun to watch.
A bit concerning for poor Gold Coast, who played the last game of the round and now the first game of the round, Monday and then Friday, but and have to fly to Darwin, but. It should be a good couple of young lists. Well, Carlton's not a young list, but I guess young teams as such going off against each other. So I'm looking forward to that one, Arch. It could be a bit of a good game to watch.
We're not looping anybody from that game, though, are we? We're not looking at
maybe
a Doherty or someone like that. Cripps maybe in a
maybe
super coach format.
Super coach probably wouldn't be on Doherty there. Maybe Lukosius has been playing pretty well from the Gold Coast, but I think there's a couple of other earlier games coming up that you're chasing a loop in, Arch,
So the next game, which kicks us off on Saturday, that's Western Bulldogs versus Melbourne. I think that's where we're looking, Zano.
This is your
You've got
game.
McCray, you've got Gawn, you've got Petrarca, all those sorts of guys in that game. I think you might be able to pick a player from that.
Yeah, Bont.
Because that leads into, well, not that you'd probably have any captain options apart from those guys on the Saturday, but Port Adelaide and Hawthorn then play at 4:30 Eastern time. Nothing Essendon, there. Richmond and Fremantle, Sydney. We've got overlapping games again, Zano.
I know. They've gone back to the normal structure, which makes life lovely.
Yep. So that's, what's that, 4 games on Saturday there. Yep. Into Sunday, you've got Adelaide versus Geelong. So you've got to look at some of the Geelong guys. I'd even be looking at, Duncan, captain. If your vice captain fails, I'd be comfortable with Duncan. I'd be comfortable with Dangerfield. I'd be comfortable with Menegola, all those guys, because Adelaide are just giving up massive points to midfield.
Even someone like Tom Hawkins could kick 14.
Yep. Yep, so. Absolutely. And then the other obvious one is the game after that. So at 3:35 on Sunday, you've got the Lions. So you've got your Lachie Neal in that one. They take on St Kilda, followed by West Coast and GWS at 6:10. Actually, I think that might be our time.
It might
No, that's Eastern time. No, I remember that. And then Monday, you've got Collingwood versus North. So if you're really hanging on and you've got a, as you do, Zano, a Adams or even a Grundy, you could look at that and see how the weekend pans out.
Yeah.
Assuming that they're not going to get rested, because we won't know about that till Sunday afternoon.
That's the risk, isn't it, there? So, but you could almost look at going a vice-captain on a Geelong guy and then looking at your Grundy, your Adams, you could have Pendlebury or whoever it might be, Goldie even, because, you know, Grundy and Goldie aren't going to run around on each other too much. From the North game. So even Simpkin, North Collingwood have given up massive points at the moment. So there's a bit there, but the problem with waiting that long for your vice, it means that you'll need a non-playing player from one of those games in between.
Yes.
So that makes it a bit tough as well. So now for me, I'll probably be looking, to be honest with you, McRae, probably into... it'll probably be into to probably Grundy, to be honest.
Yep.
I think, at this stage.
Yeah, and I'll be going probably McRae into Neil with that one.
Yeah, so I don't have Neil yet, but he's coming soon.
You need to get him for his buys, I know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think him and Zorko are two guys you really want hard for the buy.
Yep.
And that's what I'm working on at the moment. I reckon might be able to get one, might not be able to get to both, but we'll see how we go.
So tell us about your trades, Zano. What have you got on the plans there?
So Supercoach is pretty easy, Arch. I'll be getting rid of Devon Smith to Foot, who's on the bubble at Sydney. He's now their fourth best player in the team with all their injuries, so he's locked. And then I'm going to be throwing out Arts and bringing in Zorko. I have Neil there already. Throw out Arts, bring in Zorko, which will push Andy Brayshaw forward. Of course, Zorko's still in your mid in Supercoach. And that'll actually get me to full prem if you count Laddams as a premium going at 97. So that'll leave me about 9 trades and, I guess, 21.75 premiums on field. So
nice.
Sorry, was it 18s we have? So, yeah, so 21.5 guys on field. Pretty happy with that. So that'll be pretty handy for Supercoach. Now, this is where it gets messy, Arch, in fantasy. Now, I'm going to bring something up here, and it's going to make you throw up, I know.
Sure.
Up first, it's pretty self-explanatory. It'll be Sicily to probably Zorko at this stage.
Yep.
Maybe Gus Brayshaw, but I think I want Zorko for his average for his buy, as you sort of just mentioned.
Yep.
So I'll take that. McPherson's going to be any rookie that I can find, any that maybe or may not be named.
Yep.
Now it's the ugly part, Arch. I can't back in someone like a Cameron or a Cherry or anyone like that on field. I just can't do it. So
yep.
I'm actually looking at someone like Gary Rohan for a weak stream. Now, he's got a very good low break-even. He's a break-even of about 12. He's playing Adelaide. So if you're ever going to do it, now's the time to do it. And I was even looking at someone like Braden Pruce if Gorn was going to miss. Now, that's unlikely with Braden Pruce injured. So
yep.
I may well have Gary Rohan in my team this week, Arch, just because
I would love to see that, Zano. Please do that.
At this stage, it's all I can do.
Again,
I'd much rather see a Gary Rohan in my team than having to play a Cherry or it's my last rookie spot. And there's no one there, you know, a Cameron, a Cherry, even Draper doesn't sort of send confidence down my spine. So at the moment, Arch, there's a very big chance of Gary Rohan maybe a one gamer in my team this week.
Fair enough, Zano. That will be interesting. Yep. So what about Dream Team?
So Dream Team, not exactly sure. What I do have, I've got Yo in there and I've got a few other guys. I do have an absolute truckload of money, about 800,000 sitting there. So it's straight up double upgrade. Might need to move Yo, it might be a side and an up yet. But I'd imagine Zorko's coming in and probably, it'll be somebody else, another premium. Might be a side bottom or, he's not forward there, is he? But it'll be something like that. Might be a Lloyd down back. I don't know yet. But definitely going to be a big couple of upgrades there over the next couple of weeks. All right, Arch. Cool. You've had a few days, but let's have a look at your trades for the week.
Yeah, so we'll start with AFL Fantasy. I've got McPherson and Sicily. They'll need to go. I'm looking to try and do basically 3 upgrades, Zano.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. 1 down and 2 up, I should say. Yep. So I'm hoping to be able to get to somebody like a Stewart.
Yeah.
And then a rookie, as you say, Zano, whoever gets named on the bench there. Then I'm looking at Sarong up to either good old Angus Brayshaw and then a little bit of coin in the bank.
Yeah.
Or maybe I should be able to get to a full premium like Bont, Gaff, Pendles, Danger even is tempting this week with his game against Adelaide. I normally like to look a little bit further than 1 week, but, it's hard to knock up though or knock back those points straight up. So that's the sort of stuff that I'm looking at there.
Yeah. Nice. It's, the Sicily thing.
Supercoach, I've got other issues. I've got Simpson who needs to go. Rankin's done his job. So I'm probably going to look to, obviously with Dream Team and Supercoach, it's best 18. So I'm looking to bring in players that have already had their bye.
Yep.
So in the mids for Simpson, maybe Oliver's the obvious one, but maybe Luke Parker, who's been sneakily good there.
Yep.
And he's actually 100K cheaper. Andrew Gaff as well is quite cheap at the moment in that format, so they're the ones that I'd look at. Now, Zeno.
I tell you what, I'm not a big fan of Gaff in Supercoach Arch, but I did jump on Shuey a few weeks ago, who actually averages generally more than Gaff in Supercoach. So have a look at that one if you like. There's a tip for you.
All right, Zano. Now, here's my dream team issue. Okay, I've got Sicily I've got to get rid of.
Yep.
In my back line, I've still got Starcevic on the field.
Ooh.
I've got Scholl and Ling on the bench. Yeah, okay. Oh, no, it gets better. In the midfield, I've got Elliot Yeo.
Yep.
I also have Sam Simpson.
Mm.
Okay. And then my bench is Schoenberg, Wicks, and Devin Robertson, who's been there since day one, that I haven't been able to move on.
Yep.
In the rucks, I've got Tim English, Brody Grundy, and Sam Draper, all of which are some chance to miss this week, either with injury or resting.
Yep.
In the forward line, I've got Devin Smith and Brad Close, who didn't, not that Close is on my field, but he didn't play this week. So. No. I've got some issues, Zano.
There's some
problems. The good news is I've got 400K in the bank.
And you've only got two trades this week in Supercoach and DT.
Yes. So the obvious ones, it's got to be Sicily and Yeo out.
Yep.
Which I think I can still do that without copping a donut, maybe.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I do like what Witherden's been doing, Zano. We haven't spoken about him yet.
No, he's been playing
He's come
really
back
well.
In strong to the Lions, so... he's definitely one to look at. And again, getting him in for... Actually, no, it doesn't matter in that for the buys there. Mm. Maybe Oliver, Parker, Tim Kelly. I'm a bit cold on Tim Kelly, but
yeah,
we'll see. The idea is, though, I need to leave myself enough coin there to get up to Lachie Neal once he's had his buy.
There's that as well. Oh, look, I'm okay in Dream Team at the moment, but it's tough, isn't it? It's just... tough everywhere with these injuries. It's always going to be.
This is just a bad dream. I'm going to close my eyes, and when I open them, everything will be back to normal. Ah! That's not normal. Not close.
All right, Arch, let's jump into the new normal. We haven't done this for a while now either, so let's have a look at that. So you're up first this week, Arch. Let us know what you've noticed.
So what I've found, Zano, is... we already spend enough time working out what trades we're going to do. We now need to spend just as much time working out when to do them.
No.
So this is where, you know, we've been sooking about this the whole episode, the rolling team announcements, and more we're getting caught out by players being rested late in the rounds. It also means that you've got to think more about captain and emergency loopholes and when bench players are playing and when non-playing players are going to be locked out, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
You just about need to be a rocket scientist or a mathematician to figure it all out, or just slightly smarter than what you and I are.
Exactly. And then, of course, it all gets thrown in the... away when Duggan and Yeo get named laid outs, you know, an hour before the game. So it's making it hard, isn't it?
What about you, Zano? What's your new normal?
So my new normal is making statements I never thought I'd say, Arch. Now, we're talking about statements like Laddams and Thurlow may be keepers, or going Laddams over Gordon was one of my best decisions this year. They're things I never, ever expected to come out of my mouth. But ring true. So that's my new normal for 2020, is just saying things that I never expected I'd ever say.
Fair enough.
Laddams over Gorn was a better option. Who says that? You know? Like, wow. Thanks, 2020. Well, thanks for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Zano, enough about us. Let's get to some questions. What does the Twitter sphere want to know?
So Ando Wallace has asked, now he said, hey boys, I'm torn between upgrading a defender forward before the mids, probably getting an okay score, or get a big dog in the mid, an extra 20 to 30 points. There aren't many choices for downgrades back there, so what do you think? Defender forward first, as is always mids to get. Thoughts? Cheers. Now, just looking at that, Arch, the thing is, at the moment, there's not really a lot of value down back or up forward.
Mm.
You know, it's really in the midfield where we're seeing a bit of value. We spoke a few weeks ago where it was the opposite, where Stewart and who else was there? Simpkin up forward after those games, and Bailey Smith at one stage after his concussion in the first 30 seconds. They were really good value to grab. We're not seeing that up forward or down back at the moment that I can find. Whereas in the midfield, we are still seeing some Zorko in fantasies forward anyway, but we're definitely seeing some value in guys like Zorko and Gus at the moment. You know, they're fairly underpriced. So I reckon that's what you probably want to chase at the moment, because the value for the guys forward and back later on, Sidey, Lloyd, Neil, they're all still going to be there. You know, and they're not going to go up in price. They're only going to go down from here. They're already at the top of the price. So I'd say try and chase the value, depending how desperate you are, between Zorko or Gus or even Dangerfield still a bit under and guys like that, you know, Gaff, these sorts of blokes. So I'd be keeping an eye on that, Arch, and I'd be probably chasing the value because it's in the midfield at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I tend to go the big dog to answer Ando's question, because if you can afford to get to them this week, you never know if you're going to be able to afford to get to them next week. You don't know. You could be like me in Dream Team and have five injuries and you just can't get to them. So if you want them in your team and you're happy to have them in there and spend, look, maybe you need to spend a little bit more money to get them. They might drop, you know, 20, 30K, something like that. But those extra 20 or 30 points, and they're in your team, Zeno. You don't need to worry about it from then on.
This year's a bit different as well, of course. I know what you're saying. But one thing that you've also got to consider is, how's your team looking, you know? Are you still running 2-3 rookies on the field? Because you've got to get rid of them. You can't be running that at the moment. It's just not working.
Yep.
So if going a Gus, does that mean that you can get two rookies off your field rather than one over going Neil? You know, would you rather, let's use this as an analogy. Would you rather, this is disgusting, I know. Would you rather running Gus and my mate Rowan from Geelong over running Wicks and, or over running Cameron and Neil, you know?
Yep. I do. My answer to that, I would actually chase Neil because it gives you the top end score. It gives you another captain option, that sort of stuff. But I can't argue with either way.
That's what I mean, yeah. I just say chase the value still at the moment, because we're still going to struggle to get the Uber premiums anyway. We're not going to get all of them. If you go on full Uber premium, you're either in the top 100 because you've been able to have a perfect season, or you're missing out and running too many rookies or underpriced guys, which you don't want to do either. So there's a real juggle between that, isn't there?
All right. Next question, Zeno. Now, Craig on Twitter, at SubDub.
Yeah.
Who is the better bench option between Foot and Kavara? Leaning towards Foot to save 20K. We'll also bring in Cottrell if Will Gould is not named. I can't see any better cheap defender options. Zeno, your thoughts about that?
I'm not a big fan of Cottrell. There's a few guys that Carlton will be looking to bring back in if they can. Marchbanks one. So I like Cottrell. I like what he's done for the Blues. But they haven't seemed to be bleeding a lot of youngsters this year. They've had one or two games and that's it. So I don't know. I don't like his JS, but that's cool. But if you've got no choice with Gould, then you've got no choice. You know, you've got to do what you've got to do. As far as me for the other two, it's Foot for me, mainly because I just think his job security is better. I think Kavara probably scores a little bit more, but Kavara's already been out of the team this year once or twice. Yep. And yep. Burnt a lot of guys. Whereas, as we mentioned earlier, Foot might be about Sydney's fifth best player at the moment. So they got that many injuries. So I think
you say that, Zeno, but I did watch most of the Sydney GWS game on the weekend. And look, whilst he didn't score overly well, he held his own. I was actually really impressed with the young fella.
Yeah, he did. He did, and he kicked that goal, and a few guys got around him. No, I was reasonable. I never expected more than 30, 35 out of him, to be honest. So 45 plus around that mark was wonderful. But in saying that, look, Kavara, I think, is going to be better fantasy-wise, but I just don't like that job security. And the last thing we need is non-playing rookies at the moment, because as you said, three injuries and restings, and laid out when you've got no cover in your ruck, you know, it's game over. So,
and it could even just come down to if you need an extra $2,000 to do the trade that you need to do, and that's the difference in price.
Exactly. So, no, I like the Foot option mainly because of that job security, but that's it. But that's it again this week. So thanks again, listeners, for tuning in. As always, you can find me at O2LessZeno on Twitter. And of course the website, which is overlinesports.com.au, brought you to check my house price. And even though we're seeing some positive signs around the nation with COVID, but we just still ask everyone to stay safe and, you know, keep clean. That's all everyone wants, is you to keep clean.
And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And if you are struggling, always remember that there's somebody there to have a chat with. You can give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14 and they will happily talk to you day or night. As always, Zano, we ask people to subscribe to the podcast. Yes. And give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts now. And not just us, but all the fantasy podcasts that you do listen to. It's getting to crunch time, Zano, and the more information that you can get, the better.
Yep.
So the best way to thank them is, or thank us and them is just a little 5-star review. It's about 4 clicks to do
Absolutely.
It. It's very much appreciated.
It's nice and easy. Good luck again this week, everybody. Look, it's just roll with the punches. That's all we're going to keep doing. So best of luck. Hopefully I can go another 1900 this week, Arch. That'd be lovely. But I'm not counting on that. So that's where we're at. Thanks again. Talk again next week. And hope everyone has a good weekend.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.